This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's the do not scratch your eyes post-match phone-in on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
But let's get across to Shane and see what Shane's thoughts are on activities today. Is he positive looking at the game today, or what did you think, Shane? You hit the mic button and come on and let us know.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, so how you doing?
Yeah, good. Listen, I really enjoyed today. I think as far as nil-nil draws go, that was a pretty entertaining one. So I've come away from the ground feeling pretty happy about it altogether.
Nice.
Am I disappointed that I haven't seen us win since November? Yeah, of course.
Yep.
And I've been to a few away games as well. I've been to Leicester, West Brom, Millwall. None of those generated a win either.
Brom was so near yet so far, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But it means I can't go next week and I'm not going to the Middlesbrough game. So the next time we'll see Watford win is going to be next season now. But I think Cleverley's done enough for me. I think he's got the players playing with some purpose, with, you know, a good degree of structure as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can't put the ball in the net. There's clearly a lack of striking power in our forward line. But as I think you just said a few moments ago, this is an issue of recruitment, really. Would we get anyone better than Cleverley at this stage? I don't think so. So yeah, for me, I think he's done enough and I would be giving him the job on a permanent basis going into next season. Are you still there, Pete?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I like to listen when people are talking rather than I try not to yabber all over him. I fail copiously, but there we go. No, I agree. I think there is always a difference, and this isn't going to be talking down to anybody who supports the club remotely, but there is a difference between going to the game and all of those rituals that people do when they attend a game, and the friends that they see and the people whose names they don't know but faces they say hello to, and the whole kind of the social element to going to football, and then watching a game for 90 minutes, and in a way it almost being a good movie of a game. It was an entertaining nil. It wasn't the Preston game writ large. That was awful. And therefore, I think we do look at it and are we maybe too tolerant? Yeah, for Ron, absolutely. For others, maybe not. But I think being able to see the distinction between what we were having before under Ishmael, who'd started well but seemingly lost his way and seemingly lost the dressing room, Tom, it feels like a coherent unit, all trying to move in the right direction, but as you say, with a dearth of quality at the attacking end.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that. And I think I don't think we could get anyone better than Cleverley at this stage. I really enjoyed it. I thought no one coming out of that ground would not have been entertained by the game today. And as regards the striking power up front, one of the problems that we've got is that we have so many players who are very one-footed. And I think you often hear some frustration in the crowd when they're saying, like, shoot, why didn't he shoot at that point? And one of the reasons is, I can think of very few teams who've got so many players who can only deal with one foot, whether it's Espria or Ken on the other side, Martin's hugely one-footed as well. And that's a real problem because no one has the confidence. They don't have the confidence to take a strike on. And if it's not full on the right side for that player, they don't take it on. And I think that's something that we just need to think about when we're recruiting going forward. But listen, you know, I think everyone said pretty much what I wanted to say about the game. One thing I just want to make a point on as well is the club have taken a lot of criticism over various things over the last 12 months or so, and rightly so as well. I think that's been absolutely right, some of the flack that's gone the way of the club. But I thought today, it was the Junior Hornets Day, I thought they did a really good job on all counts. I think the interview with Aidy Boothroyd was really nice. I think the penalty shootout with the kids was really good as well. We saw Wendover kick the ball straight to get to the half. To get the halfway line. Greg, you need to swing your leg, a bit more power needed in that one. And the Hull City fans joined in that kind of whole celebratory atmosphere as well. It was really nice, actually, at the start. I saw Harry the Hornet run over with the Hull City mascot, and they gave them the mascot a real round of applause. And so credit to them for really joining in the day, which I thought was really good and really well put on by the club.
Lovely stuff. I love it. No, couldn't agree with you more about that. If for anybody who didn't see it, if you were remote, then Hull were wearing blue today. The team who won the kids' penalty shootout were in blue. They and Rich Walker, who was the one doing it, and he does that halftime thing very well. He inserts a bit more energy into it than others have for a little while. And he got the kids to go running over and support with the Hull. And Hull and all of the away teams this season respond, because it's just like, it's just nice. These are just kids. They're playing and they're having fun. And for them to run out in the stadium and get that response is a lovely thing. The Junior Hornets thing, completely agree. It was lovely there. And as always, it's nice to see Anne Swanson. However, I am going to come back to the statement about potential use of 2 feet, and you're never going to get Zidane necessarily, but players, and I was talking to Uncle Ron there, we were talking about Rhoda and Perryman, players who were, yes, they had a strong foot, but people like Paul Furlong could also bury it with his right foot. He was good with both feet. Craig Ramage could use both feet. It wasn't like one was for standing on. You're absolutely right. The number of players that we have who are so profoundly one-footed that when, not the final ball, but when the penultimate ball is played, it fails because the margins as to where it's got to be put, either the quality of the ball isn't good enough anyway, or the options and the comfort that the player who is receiving it has, it breaks down around that. I think that's a fantastic observation, Shane. I think that's absolutely top draw.
Yeah, and I think that's why we always complain about the lack of quality in the final third, and that's when you need to be more precise with the pass and more precise with how you bring the ball under control, because clearly the game speeds up in that last final third as well. And certainly if I was doing the recruitment for next year, that's something I'd be looking really closely at.
Well, you're not going to get to see another Watford until next season. Who knows who that might be? But however, I need to turn to you for the question of the afternoon, Shane, which is, who would be your best or your favourite, or however you consider it, Watford goalkeeper, other than Tony Cotton, in your time following the Hornets? Who would that be?
So I haven't followed Watford as long as some of the others. Okay. I started going when I moved down to the area.
Okay.
in the late 90s.
Oh, still got a good little selection.
Yeah, and Alec Chamberlain was between the sticks then, so he would be right up there. But I think, as someone else said before, I think Hilario Gomez would be my favourite. I thought he was great for us. And if you remember when he came to us, he had this reputation, didn't he, coming from Tottenham, of Hilarious Gomez for some of the howlers that he made. And he really pretty much eradicated a lot of those from his game. And I thought he did a great job for us during those Premier League years as well.
Lovely.
Also, I would plump for him.
Lovely stuff. And of course, definitely wins the best celebration of about the last three decades. Every time we scored a goal, I don't think I've ever seen a happier person than Aurelio Gomez in mid-flight, as he would punch the air and fly through it all at the same time. Shane, sir, that was fantastic. I think you're getting one of these. Most certainly a fantastic call there. And it's very good to have you here. Lovely stuff. Right, let's get across to Chris Telfer. Let me go all fingers and thumbs, as everybody knows. Now, we do know that Chris is often on a train. Let's see whether or not we can grab him in, and then we're going to be coming to Nelly. Oz, you're requested. I'm going to come to you in a minute, mate, because we spoke to Oz a little bit earlier on. He may now be reclining somewhere, having hot and cold running cocktails. Who knows? Chris, mate, how you doing?
Oh, good, Peter. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right. Have we taken so long to come to you that you've stopped, or were you not at the game today?
No, I'm still at the fucking college every Saturday. It's ruining my ability to come to the Vic, sadly.
Never mind.
Well, we've got illegal streams that I can watch on my phone, so that's fine.
Good to hear. So what did you think then, watching of the game? We're all enthused about Dan Backman's performance.
Yeah, I'm strangely positive because, again, Backman, the last time I called in, I was almost on a delusional level of saying Backman's like can stop shots.
Yeah.
And that's what he's done this time. And I think it also ties into the fact that it's not like this playing out the back wasn't happening, which was great. Three at the back. There's not this, that, and there was no defensive errors, no heartburn moments with Dan Backman trying to pass it out from the back. So that's what his job is. He can stop shots. I'm liking the new three at the back, not playing this fucking passing around at the back. Yeah.
Nice.
So that's helped.
Bit more efficiency, bit more effective. That sounds good. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
We've been talking about goalkeepers, obviously. So we'll come to your choice in a minute. But the other problem seems to be at the other end. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. What do you think? Because Ron's comment was, Bio doesn't get enough goals to start with Bojovic. Of course, the ultimate thing would be to have one person's hold-up play and the other person's finishing, and Bojovic maybe. But we didn't have that. Who would you start out of alongside Dennis? Because he's playing up front. Or would you play, what combination of those three would you start up front?
I don't know. It seems like everybody just seems to shank it over the goal by about 20 metres as soon as we get a chance. But yeah, I think Dennis, he's got skills, but he never seems to make that pass work when he's holding the ball in the final third. There were so many good chances today. That's what I thought was the positive, that we were actually pressing higher, pushing forward more, and we made those opportunities. And then, yeah, they just get sent into the stand. I would say that, yeah, I hope we don't lose Asprilla because I think he's genuinely, yeah, he's not had the best game, but he's someone that's pushing forward. And that was the whole thing I saw today, that it was a different feeling. And I love what Wendover said at the beginning, because it's what I felt. It's like there is a positive there, that you're seeing something develop that's different to what we've had to tolerate for a lot of the games this season.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't listen to Wendover. He forgot where he lived today. He was actually asked, where are you from? And he went, Cheshire. Oh, no. It was like, okay, come on, Greg. Yeah. Come on, Greg. We've all been calling you forever. So needless to say, we took the piss.
No,
he did. He got it into, I think, or just on the edge of the centre circle itself. He performed well. Can't deny it, but we will still
talk. I mean, he didn't send it into the stand, though, did he?
No, this is true. He's no Asprilla, is our Wendover. Never mind. Okay, let's turn to this goalkeeping question, which I've been dogging people all day, which is your favourite or your best, however you consider it, goalkeeper in your time of following Watford. But you can't have Tony Cotton because you're far too young. But that's not the point anyway. You still can't have him.
Well, there's only one answer.
There's only one answer, everybody. Fire away.
Ryan Porteous.
No, that's not true. You could have had Hamza Chowdhury. Let's be honest. You had it. It was staring right in front of you and you missed it. Come on, who's it going to be? I'm not allowing you to have Porteous.
No, that's my up there. No. I don't know. Well, it's Do Not Scratch Your Eyes, so it's got to be Mourinho, isn't it?
Oh, yes. That's a very good point. We were asking for a proper answer.
Someone needed to say it, didn't they?
Yeah, quite right.
But I'd love to ask you, do you think Asprilla will stay, James? I mean, I'm really feeling a better thing with Cleverley. I think, what's the point in changing it now? It seems like there's a good vibe in that situation. I'm asking you now. I'm interviewing you, sorry.
Right. Okay. What do I think we'll sell Asprilla?
We say Asprilla, and do you want Cleverley to stay?
Everybody is for sale. It's just the right offer. So I think Asprilla has a lot of talent that he's not going to realise until he goes to a better team, personally.
Yeah.
It's interesting how he tries to interact more with Dennis than he does with either Bio or Rajovic, because they can operate at a slightly rarefied level. But what they're not very good at is coming down to the level of the other players that they're working with. No, I think he is a quality player, but I think it'll be determined on the offer. I think what will be interesting to see is, if we do go with Tom Cleverley, is Uncle Ron came on and mentioned, we were talking about A.D. Boothroyd because he was there, and he turned around and said he had the courage to sell Helgeson and reinvest the money in the squad. I also think that they found some other money that they didn't afford Lewington, but that's fine. That'll be a chat for me and Ron another day. But I wonder whether or not, for making sure that, one, the pounds and the pennies are looked after, we probably have to sell him, but do we sell him to reinvest? In which case, then there is a possibility, of which I would turn around and say, yeah, if we lost him but bought in three or four players of quality who can come in and benefit the team at the level that they're at, even though they may be somewhat not as good or have the high ceiling that I think we can all see that Asprilla potentially has, but can make a difference in the team, then yeah, maybe so, maybe so. In terms of Tom, I'd go with Tom, but I quite understand why people are saying, well, no, do it on the weight of evidence at the end of the season, because he got the win against Birmingham, and I think we all got carried away. I think we were all just about to sing the Hallelujah chorus at one point. Oh, there it is.
But as people have said, the weight of evidence is we've played like some hard teams under his watch. And was I expecting us to beat Leeds? No. Was I expecting us to lose to Leeds? Yes.
He has made us, and I think we also have to think about what is our ambition for next season. As Ron turns around and says, is this how far we have come down? Are we just happy to be 15th in the second division? Well done, first of all, for calling it the second division. That's old money. Well done, Ron. But in the second tier, as I like to call it, just to piss everybody else off, it is, what is it we want to achieve, and what is the best way to do that for next season? And I think if we want to be competitive, and that's the key word, we should be being competitive in every single game we play. And we have been under Tom, and he's been doing that with a lesser palette than other teams have had. Getting a result against Ipswich, who had bought in Al Hamadi, who had bought in, what's his name, Kiefer Moore, etc., who have been playing incredibly well. Getting to literally within the last knockings of Southampton, and we can kind of rag on the ref or what have you, but you still got to defend that at the end of the day, with Southampton, who we know have got some better resources than we have. We can go through all of those teams, including Leeds, etc. We have been competitive. The charge for me is that the ownership, whoever that is, has to give him a better palette to work with so we can be an improvement on 15th. Is it going to be top six? God alone knows. But if he makes a constant year-on-year improvement, that is the way organic teams improve. Dare I say it, look at that lot up the road, not only because they lost 5-1 at home today, which is always nice, but
yeah, if we
track them back, though, in fairness to them, for two or three seasons, and yes, even under the certified idiot Nathan Jones, they improved season on season. And that's the way to do it if you don't have the money. And that's what they did. We have to do that. And that comes down to the board. It comes down to Scott Duxbury. It comes down to Gino Pozzo. It comes down to Gianluca Nani. Working with whoever the manager is, be it Tom or be it not, and ensuring that we are as competitive in this division as we feel we should be. So that we're not coming away as we were between December and the Birmingham game going, my God, these results and the performances have been really, we haven't been competitive. We haven't done enough to be in these games, and we never felt it was. I think we've seen from Tom, him take that up a notch. Are they going to allow him to do it again? We'll see.
It felt like a change, and it felt like a good, there's always, you go, the new manager bounce, but it's not about that. I think he's part of the fabric of the club, which helps, doesn't it, I think. And you've got to give some time on that. Like you say, if he's not going to, we've seen what's happened over the season, and we've seen a boost, I think.
Lovely,
I really
stuff.
Do.
Lovely stuff. Well, Chris, have a great rest of the weekend. Well,
yeah,
done
you
for,
too, Pete. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. See you soon. Lovely stuff. There's Chris there. Look, thank you ever so much to everybody who's called. We're going to finish off with Neil. Nelly, if you want to come off of mute, there we go. And we can find out what Nelly thought today. Now, as we know, Nelly is often transporting the infrastructure of the UK around in his 44-ton truck. But I don't know where he was today because I didn't get to see him. Nelly, sir, how are you doing? What you been up to today? Where are you?
I was at the game.
Oh, good. Oh, I didn't get to see you because we were stuck up at the Red Lion in the end. So what did you think? What did you think of today?
I think the Watford management got it wrong. Why did he want to take up so much of Wendover's time on the pitch?
Honestly, do you feel that Wendover was possibly rushed into it?
Yes, it was. They normally get interviewed, those guys that kick for the spot. And nice interview, and off you go and kick. But this Boothroyd chap, don't know who he was, but he took up most of the time. It was a good day. It was a good fun day today. It was just some tea. We are where we are, isn't it? We can't, if we go on about, oh, well, we should have won more games this season, but we didn't. And if you say, who should Tom Cleverley start with? He has to start with what he's got. He didn't have a window. He couldn't sign anyone. So he's left with what the sniff left behind. At least, I like Tom in his interviews. You don't get that sniff at the end of it that we used to have. Tom's media good. I think he's done enough to take the job. Because like someone else mentioned before, if we don't get him, someone else will definitely look at him. Because he's done a good job. And he's not scared to try something, is he? When he had the two big lads on at the same time together, it did look like he was scaring the bejesus out of the bed. So that was fun. Because everybody looked at each other in the rookery and went, okay, bitch. Fair enough, fair play. Now I'll have a go at this free kick. And it wasn't the worst free kick I've ever seen a Watford player take. It was it took a save from the goalkeeper. So, yeah, there were some good things to look at today and to watch. And these things, I think he's done enough. Whether or not the owners and the hierarchy will listen to us, because they must hear his name being sung by the fans. They must see clean sheets that have come. So they'll make the decision as if they haven't already made that decision. But today, yeah, it's another chicken on his interview, isn't it? It would be nice, though, for him to go out, crack a win at home next week and then a win away and then turn around and say, well, yeah, I've done what I could with what I've got to work with. So did you hear the Troy Deeney interview during the week with Andy Goldstein? Well, no, not an interview. He was co-hosting with Andy Goldstein during the week on TalkSport, on Drive Show. And he actually said that, Troy said that if he got a call from Watford to go and work with Tom, he'd love to do it.
I think there are a number of Watford legends who would compliment the staff who were there, but I think the staff, for me, the staff who were there are doing a pretty stand-up job already. Would Troy add to that? Well, I appreciate that Troy polarised people with some of his comments that he made on that podcast, but he did actually come out when we got to speak to him and said, yeah, the reason they said that was because he wanted to come back and that he thought he was on his way back and he'd just been told they weren't. He said, and that's why that happened. And I was like, yeah. You know, that he was basically kicking back because he was a bit sulky. I think we all know that that Troy has a fuse and that when it runs out, it's like the old Michael McIntyre sketch. We go, I think I know what's happened. You've got to the end of your tether. And then he says some daft stuff. He came on with us and spent some time, said some very good stuff. Would it be a benefit to have him at the club? I think so, because the managing of individuals and personalities, he could play a part in that. But it's down, I think the important bit's going to be, it'll be down to Tom, if Tom is kept on, or whoever the manager is. It has to be them who says, that is the person I'm going to bring in, that's the person I'm going to use. We had AD Boothroyd come out. AD Boothroyd made the call. I don't like it at all, personally. It was a contentious call, but he made it because he was the manager, that he wasn't going to have Nigel Gibbs at the club. Now, people didn't like that. I certainly didn't like it. But did I enjoy the promotion at Cardiff? Absolutely, I did. And it made it work for him. So sometimes there will be roles for some people. Sometimes it won't. The most important thing is the most important people have to make that decision. They have to be in the management position.
One thing I am pleased about for this season as well is we did manage to give Val most of the season and then go to an interim manager. So if Tom is given it, do you think that Prem clubs could look and say, hang on, they seem to be stabilising their situation down there at Watford, and maybe Tom with his links might be able to entice a few more loans for next season?
I think that anybody who looks at one win in 12, and obviously Ron will be going, well, we're not far from that, and I get that completely, but we had something like 8 losses or 9 losses in that time. It will have looked at that, and many Watford fans, but we were talking about it here, and I think we all thought he would have gone 2 or 3 games earlier. We thought the Huddersfield game, well, he'll have gone. And I think the club tried, I think, probably against their best instincts, no, we're really trying to support the manager. And was that the right decision? Who knows? In the end, they've made the change. I agree with you about the point, the fact that they made a difference and a comment about it being an interim manager. I think that was an astute move because nobody knew quite what Tom's reaction was going to be to bouncing into the first team role. Some of us have been, or I think probably the majority of us have been impressed with what he's done, with what he has got to work with. I fully appreciate that you look at the stats, and if you take out the loss and the win, it's hard to judge on all those draws. But when you had all of those defeats before, it feels like an improvement. The team feel more resilient. They feel like there's more players improving. Rive is seemingly improving more at this moment in time, even when he's having his cameos on, to the point where Ron comes on and says, well, maybe you should start him. That's a good thing. That's a good, that in a way, Tom and his coaching team, who've been working with him for the last, he's the one who discovered he's got a long throw. We found out it was about 2 weeks before we sold Healy. They only found out 3 weeks before they sold Healy that he could do that throw, if you remember. I think he's done more in the small time than he's been there than we actually saw from Ishmael. I think he's finding his feet. I'm impressed with what he's done. What happens?
Yeah.
We will wait and see. I fully also understand a lot of people who like Tom a great deal and would not want him to be gone in 3 months of the next season if he doesn't start that well, because they have a high regard for him. But there we go. There we go. Nelly, I've got to ask you the question, and then we're going to get into the five words, because we're nearly at 7 o'clock and we like to do that. But who has been, and you cannot have Tony Coton, because I'm sure many of us of a certain age would say Tony Coton straight away. So without Tony Coton, who has been your favourite or the best Watford goalkeeper in your time of watching, excluding the great TC?
Well, I could say Stevie Palmer, but not many people would get that.
Oh no! We've already had somebody suggesting Ryan Porteous, and yeah, told Chris off.
I heard that. I tell you what, I used to like Kevin Miller. My kids liked Kevin Miller when they were little, but I like the banter that Kevin Miller used to have with the fans. But for that period of time, we were. I think it was because Hooligan Holt was in use. They shoved us in up the Vicarage Road end for quite some time. And the fans often, when we were winning, used to sing to him, Miller, what's the score? And he'd always make these little signs with his fingers, like 2-1 and that type of thing.
Yep.
My kids used to like that. They used to like that. But I like Kevin Miller as well. I was lucky enough to meet him on a couple of occasions. Apart from TC, but I am actually old enough, as you know yourself, Peter. I remember TC let in 3 goals on his debut.
No, he let in 5 goals on his debut. His debut was Watford 4, Everton 5 at home. And he was literally going, my God, what have I let myself into?
And Graham Taylor crawled into the press conference, didn't he?
I don't remember that. What did he do? He crawled in?
He crawled in because there was no social media in those days. But we knew the Steve Sherwood situation had needed going for it. So he brought in TC and bigged him up, I think, in his press conference before the game. And then, of course, he goes and lets in 5. So Taylor's been crawling. I don't know whether you can get it on YouTube or whether it was actually written up, whether it was televised. But apparently he did, yeah, he crawled in. And he hid under his desk for a couple of seconds. Because he knew what was coming. He was going to get hammered by the press over his new signing.
Let's face it, he had the last laugh. Tony Coton, a goalkeeper the likes of which Vicarage Road have rarely, if ever, seen donning a Watford kit and winning, of course, the only man to win the Player of the Season 3 times, which is saying something itself. Nelly, sir, lovely to speak to you. Look forward to catching you, hopefully, against Sunderland. But I think it's now time for us to get into the 5 words and the long forms and all of that good stuff. And, of course, it's Saturday night. You're all saying, shut up, Pete, and let us get on with our dinner/beer/going out, whatever it is. Guys, if you are travelling, because lots of people travel a long way to get to the Watford games at home as well as the away games. Guys, it's been an absolute joy this season to be with you, and we hope we are reducing the journey time, even if only slightly emotionally. But let's start off with Uncle Ron on the 5 words, who says disgusting home results. We can't argue. Very few teams would survive kind of November, and here we are in the now latter stages of April. But I think we're looking at things since Tom has come in. He hasn't lost any games in that particular period, so I think we're taking a look at it. But in and of itself, what it suggests is that you need to see, we need to see further support, not necessarily finance, but further support of the manager in terms of the squad that we have and that we use. And the academy use of that is going to be very important. More about that in a little bit. Natasha Wright says, at Hornet Wendover, that's Wendover, not Chesham, by the way, Greg. Highlight and 24-25 new signing. There you go. Ryan Cripps. We met the Crippses today up the red line. He said, decent performance. Earned a point again, thanks to Super Danny Backman. He was my man of the match today. Luton got absolutely battered. Good day today. Onwards and upwards. Come on, you horns. There is very much a silver lining in this particular nil, I think. Gary Hallowgary said, Hanwell out of the relegation zone. Yeah, you go. Hanwell Town. Gary follows them in the non-league as well as the Hornets. I went down and saw a game there earlier season with Gary there. Louis Teixeira says, best half-time of the season. It was a cracking half-time. I have to say, the club has set the bar high and it's not going to be able to repeat that against Sunderland, I'm sure. Cole Campion said, Martins, Cesspit Hall of Famer. Brian Edwards, Backman, man of the match. Andy Rankin, a top goalkeeper, says Dave Lavender. Quite right, he really was. I mentioned it earlier on, but it was such a good comment, we're going to say it again. Harry, HJ Clark 95, says Wendover could have scored Martin's chances. That the one that he put white, yeah, definitely. But of course, it is hard. He has come on. He makes things happen. Since to use Rich WFC2's remark about Emmanuel Dennis, he just doesn't finish very well at this moment in time. And I think this the position he's going into is interesting. It's the first time when he's been played as a bit of a centre forward / free role. And I thought that's worth looking at again. Brian Edwards said, Hull broke the bank to put that squad together. We outplayed them. That's very true. They were at, it was something like 120 to 130% of their turnover is spent on wages. And that is trademark of Wendover, who pointed that out previously. He also says, Dave injured bollocked us today. Bollocks to us today. Good use of the word bollocks. I like that very much. Nicholas Smith says, an exhibition of middling mediocrity. Nicholas, nice stuff. I like that. Middling mediocrity is very pleasing, and I look forward to seeing it again next season, if not this. John Parslow says, Backman, keep keeper. Mark of England and Watford says, makings of an average side. Maybe so, but it's, I think we've got to look at it and think, is it a platform that we could bring something in? And what would that be? I don't know. As I say, we've got to box clever. Another cockwomble of a referee, says Dave Lavender. I've got to say, the referee was fairly fucking awful today, I thought personally. And I thought he was for both sides. There was a moment when, who was it they brought on? Dilap. I think Sierra Alta had more of his shirt than Dilap had on. And the ref and the linesman, who were both within clear view, did nothing at all. Very good until the final third, says Hampshire Hornet. Absolutely. Lewis Bin, says John Parser. Yes, we did do our keep or bin session this week, which basically, and Justin is very much in the not liking Dennis very much sense of the word. And so that every time Dennis didn't do anything good today, which was quite a bit, he stood up, turned around and looked at me from about four seats in front with his arms out wide as if to say, that's your fault, that is. Sorry, Justin, I do apologise. I had a bad game. Georgie Fitzgerald said Asprea needs some composure. Yeah, he was trying to take the leather off the thing, wasn't he? Dr. Dickie Sutton, he of the medical training, says, worst keeper in the world, my arse. I think that is a defence of Backman. Absolutely. No, he had a tremendous game, as ever. I used to say about coaching teams, and I think the same thing happens with players, is the last thing to come is consistency. You need to do that performance again and again and again. You need to do it five or six times before you're even in the ballpark about talking about consistent performances. And really, you need to do it over a season and then many seasons. So it was nice to see him hopefully take the first of many good performances. That would be good. Lewis learnt to cross when, says Mark Calder, in the first half. Don't worry, amnesia hit him very hard later on. Jane Kearney says, at least I met Peter. Jane, Mark, it was lovely to meet you, as it always is with everybody. Absolutely my favourite moment of this season, other than Greg forgetting where he lives, which of course would rival any moment, has been the community and the communal kind of coming together of various people who've come along and had a pre-match beer and have a chat, and just it's just a lovely thing. It really is. Carps, hello, Andrew, says Backman, best performance for Watford. Absolutely. Little Miss Dawny says 1 point better than 0. Quite true. Gary Wilson says Super Dan, Super Daniel Backman. I'm not going to sing, Gary. You cannot coax me into it. I'm not going to be singing, at least yet. Alan WFC, Harrod Allen says, Rajovic, 20 goals next season. Ooh, let's hope that's the case. If he is, let's hope he's playing for Watford. Batchman kept us up in it. Well done, Willie Eckers. Like, g'day, Ken. Nice to hear from you. Final third again, says Pete Joyless Jones. Tom Hagen says, Rajovic getting up to speed. There is something there. I think we know. Carl Campion back again. Super Daniel Backman, unbeatable today. We have to say, Carl Campion, 50 tomorrow. Welcome to the club, mate. Trust me, it's all downhill from there, but he's going for a 19-kilometre jog. My God, that's ridiculous. Now, we come to Hornet Haikus. No one's on the beach. So where have they been this week? It ain't striker school. That is so good. I've got to say, the haikus and the limericks, that's right up there for me this season. Gary says, it's a Desmond Nil. There's no such thing as a Desmond Nil. It's Desmond Tutu. Stop it, everybody. Just stop it. Michael Abraham says, really entertaining nil draw. Ben says, Bajovic and Rajovic, hilarious together. Loved it. That's Bajovic, I think you'll find. Backman, excellent. Attack, poor quality, says Watford FC, Sweden. Peter Ryan says, poorest shooting since Alec Baldwin. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, I read these as I read them, Peter. Good shot, you got that one in. Crowd endangered by Watford shooting. Tom Hagen, excellent fun. Ref, amusingly amateurish, he says. Yeah, absolutely. Alan Lathwell says, two fan, cow's ass, etc. Mikey Abrahams, Backman, man of the match. Ryan says, Backman, action. Andy Dibble says, not the worst, 0-0. I think, as I said earlier on, there is an element of, it's like watching a movie and you go, well, it was crap, or that was good. And it was a good game. It was an enjoyable game. And the halftime in no small way added to that. I have to say, if you'd have had a dirge of a halftime, I think then you might have been feeling it, but it was good fun. It really was. Ant says, bittersweet symphony, and that's life. And he's got a picture of the Verve and him walking down the old, well, walking down the street. Zlatan says, at least we didn't lose. PJ Jordan, yeah, PJ says, just one home win, please. Yes, it would be nice. Simon Watford FC says, we need a goal scorer. Absolutely. Charlie Pod says, Pozzo mob, get out now. There you go. Ryan says, seen a lot worse 0-0 draws. Entertaining. I'm easy to please, says Mike S. Hello, Mike. Nice to hear from you. Hope you are well. Da, 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 da. Where are we? Jamal Lewis is useless. Fact, says Ian Moore. Ian, that's a quality fact. Well done. I like facts. I like them very much indeed. Backman man of the match from Simon. Yeah, bad match. Bad day for Backman haters, says Peter Lee. There, where are we? Max, we lack so much quality. I think in that final third, Max, I think you're absolutely right. Barney T. Rubble says, turgid or sterile, you decide. That final third, I think you can take your pick. We are short there. Chris Telfer, we heard from him earlier on. He says, five times. James Glenn says, 17 shots, two on target. Yeah, it's... I keep referencing the chat with Troy Deeney, but there are sometimes when you speak to somebody and there are so many little bits that you take away. And we ended up talking with Troy and we did our kind of one in 10 thing. And we just said, look, say various things about the manager and then we maybe go into it. And he talked about Gianfranco Zola and another manager as well, who escapes me for the moment. But he basically said it was Zola who took him out to do a shooting practice. And he said, I'll roll the ball in. And basically he was trying to take the leather off it and it was spinning out or what have you, or it was hammering into the net. And Zola went, why are you trying to do that? And he basically sat about 15 yards away from him and said, right, pass the ball to me. And he passed. He said, no, pass it firmly. He went, okay, so I passed it with the instep of his foot. And he went, right, no, pass it to me really firmly. And he did. And he went, so why are you trying to hammer it? Why aren't you shooting like that? And he went, ah, yeah, because the control you have by passing the ball or trying to make sure that the ball is on target, your technique being used to try to basically make it odds on for you to be able to work the goalkeeper. Because out of those 17 shots, two on target, as James says, great stat, James, thank you for that. If you don't work the keeper, what was the point of winning back possession, working it into that opportunity? That's at the time when quality is absolutely needed. And even if it is just dribbling into the keeper's arms or it's straight at him, work the keeper is always the mantra. Gary Short says, don't understand the Martins hype. The Martins hype? Was there Martins hype? Okay, fair enough. Zlatan says, why do we play Kone? I was surprised. Was Tom Delibashiru injured? I don't know. I saw the note about, an interesting note about Chak Fatanse, I didn't say anything about Tom. There may well be something out there. Valium nugget meal, you in? Says WFC chef. Well done. Hold on. It's one of those. For WFC chefs, take a bow for consistent repeating taking the piss out of Justin, which I'm all in favour of. Justin is currently standing up three seats in front of me, turning around and holding his arms aloft. Oh no, that was this afternoon. Never mind. Andy Top Rankin says, Super Dan, Super Danny Backman. Kev Bennett, game of two halves again. Where's the real bio gone? Says TJ 2626. Dunny, hey Dunny, says the season in a game. Yeah, that's true. What's the point anymore? Says Chris from Come On Elisa. And Mighty Hornet says next week, same stuff. Maybe, it might be, who knows? We've got to hope. That's what being a Watford supporter is about. It's about, it's an endurance event. It's not a sprint. It's not a glory chasing. David Sweet says, Cesspit FC trying to ruin any community at the bunker now. Jokers. Yeah. I think I know who was reported it. I would be unsurprised if the person I think wasn't the person who has reported the bunker for having people drinking outside. To my understanding, I think a license to have that has literally already been applied for, from what I can tell, or rather on good sources, that's already happened. But yeah, nothing quite like the fun police, is there? The work that Roy and the 1881 have done in previous seasons has been, you know, remarkable and been there for everybody to see. In order to fund that sort of thing, we need to make sure that the bunker works well and is supported well. And of course, there's only a certain size to it. So the ability to turn up and be able to get your drink and just sit outside and have a mini fan zone, for want of a better phrase, just somewhere where everybody can go, is absolutely vital. So whoever reported, yeah, well, I'll let you imagine what the word was. There you go. Let's get to the long forms, everybody. Wendover Horn says, Boothroyd had a much higher budget than Ray Lewington. It wasn't merely the Heidis Helgeson sale. It wasn't the H sale alone. I did say that. I thought a lot of money that was discovered that wasn't made available for Lewington. But I think you have to say that, you know, if we were to have a round of your favourite, I think Ron wouldn't be alone in calling that out with Boothroyd in that year. I know Justin is very much on that particular side of things. Tom Bodell says, the guts to sell Helgeson. He just scored 20 goals and we were Watford. He'd just been sold regardless of who was in charge. Absolute tosh just for a change, says Tom. Okay. Gary, what if the coaches, Damien, Jimmy, and forgot his name, don't want permanent first team coaching roles? There's Damien, there's Armand as well. Armand Cavata. And yeah, no, that's very true. There's a number of things to consider as out of those four guys there, which is Damon Lathrop, Jimmy Gilligan, Armand Cavata, and also Tom. I think he'd probably want to go for it. I imagine he probably would. He certainly seems to be making noise that sound that way. So that's fine. But does everybody else? What would it be? Don't know. We'll see. Lubick Lebowski, who we saw today. Oh, and my favourite keeper, very much excluding the other great TC, is David James. I was a junior Hornet at the time and a keeper at school, and he was absolutely lovely to me. And I think we saw some good moments from him. If only he had played that semi-final day, that cup game in 87. Anybody who doesn't know about it, basically we were going into the FA Cup semi-final. Tony Coton got an injury, as did Steve Sherwood. Steve Sherwood, to this day, declares that he was fit for it and was okay. And it was, does he play David James, who was 16 and never played a first-team football match in his life at that point, in the semi-final, or did he go and play Eddie Plumley, who had previously played for Newport County and in League 2 kind of thing, as it is now, Division 4 as it was then. Best Watford goalkeeper in my time, except Tony Coton, says Justin, probably Alec Chamberlain. He also says, AD Boothroyd, football genius, love seeing him back at the Vic. How did number 25 do today? Justin, this is arguing by stealth, and I greatly admire you for it. Well done. Well done. Nicely done. Lubick Lebowski says, second half, and pen save made it all worthwhile, not to mention the Edgar Davids singing pre-match. If you were in the Red Lion, you would have heard it. My temporary phone is shite and not letting me request. However, I can confirm that Edgar Davids will be with me next week and hoping for a live spaces post-match so we can join. Excellent stuff. Lubick Lebowski brought with him a guest. It was good fun, and I really hope he enjoyed it, Brett. I really do. Louis Teixeira says, Bio looked better today with Rajovic with him. Martins, Dennis, Lewis were terrible. If we put a performance like that together under VI, Valerian Ismail, I think it'd be a bit more negative reaction. Can't wait to start again in August. There you go, Ron. There's a reaction, which is probably a little bit more balanced than being happy about it. Reza Bitteref says, sorry, signal terrible. Reza, make sure you come back on again, sir. It was a great call, other than the quality of the call, if that makes sense. I probably doesn't, but never mind. Gary also then provides us with his top three goalkeepers, excluding Tony Cotton. In number three, Gary says, Aurelio Gomez. At number two, he says Alec Chamberlain. And at number one, Kevin Miller. Kevin Miller has been taking a lot of plaudits and a lot of votes today, Kevin Miller. Sir, well done indeed. If you can, I think the 94, 95, 96 season videos, if you see that, you'll see some of Kevin Miller's stops were just ridiculous. Backman man of the match, says Martin, who we spoke to earlier on. Alan Lathwell says, might as well record Uncle Ron and just play the same clip each week. He's just a broken down record. Now, no, I don't think so. I thought his points have changed over the last few weeks, because he is asking, are we just happy to be where we are? But we'll have a chat about it, and we will have a chat with everybody, all sides, always. Oz said, sorry, accidental press the request button. Off to the beach now. All right, Oz, now you're just rubbing it in. Ant says, Jimbo? Best one, then I loved Rich. Oh, right. Oh, sorry, Chambo. Right, okay, let's get this. So Ant's call is Chambo, Alec Chamberlain. Then I loved Richard Lee when I went to as a little shit. When I went to as a little shit, followed by Foster, but he ruined it towards his last season with the GoPro antics. Nice. Pidge, hey, Pidge says, best keeper apart from Tony Cotton for me, Chamberlain, but Jennings runs him close with Rankin and Sherwood. Now I'm going to pick up with this, Pidge. Pidge, you never saw Pat Jennings. I don't believe you will have seen Andy Rankin. There's no way you'd have seen Andy Rankin. I only just saw Andy Rankin's last couple of seasons at Sherwood. Yeah, maybe you will have seen him. But I understand why you're doing it, because Pat Jennings was with us for only a season and went on to have an absolutely heroic career at Tottenham, at Arsenal, and of course with Northern Ireland in the World Cups. I'm now finally convinced this is a parody account, says Sean Walsh. What, us? Oh, almost, definitely. Backman was man of the match today. Credit to him, says Pidge. Fine, good stuff like that. And let's have a look. What have we got down here? Let's find that. Oh, Stephen Atkinson, send us a photo, everybody. Go and have a look at that. My most liked goalkeepers, Steve Sherwood and Andy Rankin. I wasn't there when Doyle scored, but I was there when Sherwood scored. Oh, wow. Steve Sherwood, he's got a T-shirt with Steve Sherwood. I was there when Steve Sherwood scored 14th of January, 1984. Steve Sherwood scored, I believe it was, I'm sure it was, away at Coventry. And Steve Sherwood, basically with a big hump up front. Yeah, that's the way to go. That's a Stephen Glass with bells on moment. I like that. Stephen Atkinson also confirms, before Ishmael's was sacked, we could not see where the points had come from to keep us up. Cleverly has only failed to get us a point against Southampton. Any who doubt him needs to ponder that. I think that was the message I tried to convey there, Stephen, but you're doing it far more concisely and far more considered than I do, because I'm an idiot. Duh, I love KMB. What the Sigma? Don't know, no. And Stephen Atkinson back then, I cannot take seriously the opinions of people who think Backman is the worst goalkeeper ever to play for Watford. Nope. And I think that's what's commonly known as the Perry Digweed defence. We will finish off, though, the evening with Watford limericks. When Cleverley came in, we knew just what we hoped he could do. Make us strong at the back, grow the passion we lack. Well, I think we got 2 out of 2. The stuff. Who knew? I appreciate, obviously, with the bringing along of the Premier League and Sky Football, etc. Who really knew that really what you want from any form of football coverage is haikus and limericks? It's what's always been needed, clearly. Who knows? Anyway, let's have a look at this week and think about it. If you have not seen, or if you have not received an email, the club are running the final at your space. It was one of the questions that we actually had asked of us in midweek, and they are running it. It is on the academy, and it's going to be on the 1st of May at the training ground. So you will have received, hopefully, an email. Do look at the website if you think you might be wanting to attend. It should be interesting. I've certainly opted to go, and will, of course, report back via our platform, and I'm sure other podcasts and platforms will also do similar. So there's something there. Go and have a look at that. I think the importance of the academy is going to be, it has to be increasingly important, but there's also an opportunity for us to hear about how things have gone over the past few the last couple of years since Jimmy Gilligan and Richard Johnson have been involved. If Tom was to be there, there's a natural synergy that is there to notice, because you can produce good players, but you need a manager who is going to gamble on them, who's going to be brave enough to put young players into a team where actually at the end of the day, as per Ron's comment earlier on, the results are important. That's the important thing. You've got to be brave enough to put kids in at that stage. You've got to decide that, yes, if they are good enough, they are old enough. And what so many managers do is they will fall back on experience at all times. Exceptions to that rule would be people like Alec Ferguson and indeed Graham Taylor. There have been other Watford managers who've also done it out of necessity and others who have done it out of inclination as well. But it's an important thing to do, especially if we're going to start boxing clever in the long run. It's not a short game, that, but it's something to see. So look, that's an at your place. It has been announced. Do get to it if that kind of thing is going to interest you. The other thing around the 1881 and the drinking outside, was it inconveniencing people? An hour every couple of weeks during when a home game would be playing, and therefore 20,000 people are shuffling into the ground. I've been there for literally all of those weeks, and there hasn't been anybody who has been inconvenienced by people drinking outside and having a chat. They've walked around people, etc. It's not like people who are kind of homeowners in the area, because it's by the hospital. There are some homes being built to one side, would be inconvenienced. I think it's very disappointing that somebody would be of an opinion to try to prevent that, because I think there are wider benefits from it. As I say, eventually it would be nice for that to become some form of fan zone. So yeah, that's not great. And it again, puts into, not into jeopardy, but it provides a hurdle for, we always talk about Roy, but obviously the 1881, all the guys down the bunker, all of them, it provides a hurdle that they shouldn't have to be having to jump, but jump it, I'm sure they will do, and we wish them every goodwill with that. So we will see you hopefully down there for the Sunderland game. We will be doing a Sunderland preview, an opposition view, again, talking about the prediction league and all this sort of stuff as we come towards the end of this season. We'll tie up all of those bits. And then we're going to start this season, or next season, I should say, with a bit of a roar, because we're going to be doing, if you've seen anything, we're going to be doing a thing called the Big Night Out. We are going to be announcing the venue very soon, probably after Tuesday. And it's going to be, it's just going to be us basically trying to do this, but do it in a physical sense, having a laugh and just enjoying it. Because whether or not we're in 15th or whether we are not, or whether or not we finish in 7th, it's your football club. And hopefully you should hopefully get some joy out of following your football club. And we are the community, and we can be a community without the club saying it's all right to be so or to do so. We can innovate without the club having to spoon feed us everything. And so we will do that, as will other podcasts and other platforms and fanzines and magazines and all sorts of stuff. So do look out for that, and do, if you will, support us, because it's going to be going towards a good cause. But as I say, more information on that in the meantime. I think we'll probably finish here today with some lovely stuff from Daniel Backman having an outstanding performance today. Nobody said a bad word about that performance, Dan. So you've taken brickbats and some punishment online, and today you answered it in the best possible way in all circumstances. Do it on the pitch, and then it all stops. One swallow does not make a summer. Go off and do it again, if you will, because that was really tremendous stuff. He's a goalkeeper. Every time he makes a mistake, it's going to be highlighted because it's going to be punished, because he's the last line of defence. But today, the last line of defence got us that nil. It absolutely got us that nil. Other end of the pitch, we know we've got things to do, but hey, that's where we'll take it. Different opinions, different thoughts, etc. from everybody. Thank you so much for, if you listen or indeed lurk, because we love the lurkers especially, thank you so much for taking part in this. If you listen to it on the podcast or if you listen to it live, brilliant. If it helps you with your journey home or gives you something to listen to or indeed scream about, then absolutely thank you very much again for your time. All of those people who contribute, stick their heads above the parapet. Be it people sending us limericks, being it people sending us badly drawn Watford stuff before on game time, be it haikus and everything. And but especially the people who do call in as well, because without them, we don't have a show, well, what we loosely call a show. And we hope you like it. Thank you so much. We will see you again after Sunderland. Look out for the opposition view. And we will be having a special coming out in midweek. And Carl is going to be getting away for a couple of weeks, so his season is going to be coming to an end. But we're going to be recording something just to commemorate, because it commemorates, not the word, to celebrate the fact that we will have had 500 podcasts. Justin and Carl started this nonsense in the middle of the pandemic. And whatever your thoughts on the pandemic, it was a horrible time for a lot of people. It's nice that at least some silliness comes from it. And we ain't going anywhere soon, so you're going to have to put up with us for a few more yet. So anyway, do look out for stuff this week. Have a great weekend. Fingers crossed, obviously, for Sunderland, and we will see you soon. Take care now.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery free, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.